I'm guilty.
He's guilty, y'all. Love after maca.
Of loving the first degree. But I don't mind.
Mm-mm. Sure don't.
As long as you're here with me. A judge and the jury. When they heard my plea. You know they sent me up the river.
Straight up that brick will gay up.
They put the blame on me. Lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. I'm just a prisoner of love. Love after lock up, y'all.
Watch it, y'all. Those little Debbie cakes, they go everywhere.
Nothing like a jumpsuit. I can't stand the smell of fry bologna. Cannot stand the smell.
Why have you been smelling it?
No, when Doug cooked that in the microwave, it's the same. When it pulls up on the side, like when
curls up.
Oh, I had to get, sorry, y'all. Welcome to Reality Gaze, Lalu, season
this
three.
This is Lalu.
Season three, episode 39, third time's a charm.
Why do you have an aversion to, because third time is the charm for Rachel.
Oh.
Or maybe third time's the charm for, no, it's Anissa. This is the time we're meeting
Anissa.
Why do you have such an aversion? First of all, why do you smell microwaved bologna?
No. So, question, did any of your family make fried bologna growing up?
No.
Okay.
We never fried ours.
So that's why. My father would fry bologna, and I still like bologna now, but I won't eat it.
But doesn't it smell kind of like bacon or hot dogs?
No. It's like this. It was this really just pungent.
Acrid.
And the bologna like puffs up in the middle and it looks gross. And I.
Maybe it's a looks thing to you too.
I couldn't stand the smell as a kid when they were. And my dad used to cook it all the time.
So this is trauma for you.
Yes.
It like. But
yes.
No, what you
eat
have
it with
do
his
it,
can tamales. Oh.
You have to do it like you do Canadian bacon. You have to cut the corners so it doesn't. You know, we've officially bottomed out that we're talking about fried bologna.
I think the fact that you're trying to foodie bologna.
No, I'm talking about when you cook Canadian bacon so it doesn't curl up. You've cooked Canadian bacon, right?
Yes, but no. Well, but that's an exotic meat down where we're from. Who gets that?
But no, you cut the corners almost like some type of Maltese cross. And then it doesn't curl up.
No one gives a shit about that here. They don't care if it curls up. They just and flat. In fact, they like it. Doug
if
even
it curls
talked
up.
About the curl. Yes, Doug even talked about the curl. It's gross.
Trash.
I don't care for it. And the fact that he made it in the microwave, when
know,
you can just fry
worse.
It. The fact that you can fry it for like 3 minutes.
Can you imagine the smell of a microwaved, as I call it, meat with seams?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I take a piece of bologna and just fry it once. And, I'm not a fan. Maybe we have sissies who loved it, but I couldn't stand it.
Okay.
I had to get that out.
We had it as a kid, but my mom didn't buy it a lot. I think it was more of a special thing. And then my mom decided, nope, bologna's not good for you anymore. And then we never had it again.
Just crushed basically anything you ever liked.
Well, she was into health, you know, when we were about 7 or 8 years old. And then it was all over.
And it was
all the sugary cereals, all the juices, everything was, you're drinking water. Gah! Why would anyone drink a cup of sugar?
The good for her.
Yeah.
My
she
mom
was actually
did-
ahead of her time.
My mother did the whole low-fat craze when that was a big
deal.
She was really – and she lost a lot of weight from that. But if you read that – if you watch that documentary, Fed Up.
When they stuff – when they take the fat out, they put sugar in.
They put sugar in. That's a great documentary. Right? It's called Fed Up, right?
I don't
– it's the one
Katie
Couric
There's so many
carried.
Of them. There's so many of them. I've seen the Michael Pollan ones on Netflix.
Is that the one who does the thing where we can't eat fish anymore? Seaspiracy?
I think so.
Because we can't really, Y'all, we can't
eat anything anymore.
We can just eat fucking plants and just green plants covered in dirt.
That's Michael Pollan's thing. He's like, you can eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
So, Katie Couric, yes, the Sugar Dr. Mary for 2014 is called Fed Up. If you're wanting to get motivated, I ended up giving sugar for like, I did like 2 months after that documentary. Then I went.
Really?
Back. Yes. Oh, yeah. It
you
really
like
worked.
Sugar more than I do, though.
It's weird in a way, but yeah, but you like.
I like salty things.
You like salty things, but I don't like desserts like you do, though, I feel.
I never order desserts, so it's a special thing.
But he would order dessert every day if he could.
I would, but I don't.
Do you think when you're 80, are you just going to say, fuck it, I'm getting cake today?
Maybe. I think I enjoy denying myself things.
This is getting in a weird area, and Poodle's going
to
start talking about sex.
On.
We need to move on. Let's talk about...
God!
Y'all, this is... Hey, we've got... We're not going to go into everything, but do we have anything coming to the $8 tier? Anything down the pike for people?
It's Plathville is the next one, and it's going to be in August.
Okay, so there you go.
But you're basically the $5 tier, which you all get is going to be blowing up over the next month or so.
Yeah.
On the free feed is F-Boy Island on HBO Max. Sexy Beasts.
It's a $5 tier.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that's what you're still going to get. And of
Love
course,
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind After the Altar, 3 episodes, and you're going to get Love in Paradise, the Caribbean, which is a 90-day story that I've described as kind of like Lalu meets 90 Day.
And I think you're right. I'm excited.
Where people who may be con artists luring Americans. Everyone was on a bang trip. Let's be honest. Everyone.
I don't know how we're going to have time for a Bi-Curious this week, but I guess we're going to fit it in. It's like
next
when
week.
That.
Next
I,
week.
I mean, this month.
Oh.
I guess it's like when that hot Latin guy walks in when you've already got two dicks inside you. And I said, well, I guess this is going to have to work, everybody.
I don't think 3 is possible.
I don't think
it's logistically possible.
Know. I'm sure somebody's done it.
You know, I guess you can probably take 2 and someone tries to stick a dildo in there.
Oh, that's
and then,
happened. For
and
sure.
then you just hear.
Exactly. Exactly. Woo! All right.
There's a symbol from the universe that goes, bring! Trick!
It's like in. It's like in Tetris when you empty all the rows at once. Yes. It goes like, woo!
Yeah, I don't think it's physically possible to get 3 dicks in you.
Come at us.
Maybe in a vagina.
Maybe.
Because they're a little more forgiving than an ass. We need to move on.
We really do need to move on. Yeah.
Talk about Rachel and Doug in this... this... we'd like to call it Bonnie and Clyde, but it's more dangerous.
Y'all, this episode
living
was a
kink fantasy come
this
to life.
This episode was a calm before the storm. Get ready.
So y'all, she says they wake up together, and I love it how production zooms in on his ankle bracelet. And she says in the moment, you know, the last time I felt like this was when I was with my last husband, who was also a formerly incarcerated person.
No, she didn't say that. She said, the last time I felt loved this way, it's even worse. She said, the last time I felt loved this way was when I was 15 or 16 years old.
Oh, I thought she said my first husband. Maybe I messed that up.
I mean, maybe she said, but she said the last time, she talked about her first husband, but she said the last time I felt loved this way.
Oh, then I messed up.
Felt this love was 15 to 16 years old. Y'all, that's not.
Ugh.
I just want to say this. When you're 15 or 16 years old, it's love, but it's a
is
different.
It?
It's, I think it's what we call it's puppy love. It's what people say. Like, it is love. You do have deep feelings. I still think a part of me, I still love my first girlfriend, Jessica, who wore white diamonds.
Was that you convincing yourself? that you needed to do that?
I think I really loved her, like, deeply as a friend, not in a sexual way, but I did love her. And now when I look back on it, there's still this, I really felt like I had deep feelings for her.
But you thought that was somehow sexual attraction.
Well, that's the only way, you know, my brain was saying that was the only road to take. There was only one road that leads from love, you know, there. Now I know there's a whole highway of freaky deakiness, but
lots of exits.
Stop the scat meal.
Every one of them's got a freaky deaky stuckies.
Yeah, a freaky deaky stuckies.
You don't know what Stuckey's is? You can Google it. It is a place alongside the road that truckers go to.
Is that the one with the beaver on it?
I don't know.
I think it's the one that they're very popular. My mother's boyfriend kept talking about the big Stuckey's that they're building in Denton for like 2 years. I was like,
it's like a diner, like a really greasy spoon kind of thing.
Not Stuckey's. What are
Stuckey's?
Big.
Who cares?
Now you've got me.
Oh no, we can't do this on the podcast.
Anyway,
no one wants to see us Google anything.
Nobody wants Buc-ee's. There's Stuckey's, and then there's Buc-ee's. I bet they own both of them. Now that I thought of it, so there's Buc-ee's in Texas because it's a buck. It's like a beaver. A Buc-ee's.
I get it.
Anyway,
making fun of the beaver's buck
teeth.
For
2 years. That's the buck. Look how many. Y'all come at me if your parents talk about shit you don't give a fuck about.
That's everybody.
That's everybody. So anyway, 15 or 16 years old, this tells me part of Rachel is probably stuck at 15 or 16 years old.
I think
not a good
sign.
She's
really, really mentally not prepared for what she's about
to experience. She's probably never been to a codependent anonymous meeting in her life, and I think she desperately needs to go.
Her mother is bringing over Dougie. We're gonna reunite.
Oh,
and
it breaks my heart when they see their kids after a long time.
Dougie, y'all, really, he went away when he was a year. Dougie was a year and a half old.
Yeah,
so he hasn't seen him since then. I'm sure maybe he's seen him in prison. I don't know if I'd want to do that to my kid, to take my kid to see.
But you probably want to see your kid, so like you're still gonna go.
I guess
you're gonna do it.
So he hugs him. He said, first thing I'm gonna do is punch him in the stomach. So Dougie's got lots of anger with his father, with good reason. Because, you know, when you're a little boy, we talked about this before. Little boys are only have to have two emotions. Extreme joy and anger.
And Rachel feels like, I feel like Rachel would be fine with therapy, but I bet Doug would never let his kid go to therapy.
I doubt Rachel would. I think she thinks she can do it herself.
I could see that. I could see that.
So,
but y'all,
anyway,
this kid needs to go to counseling. Like, he needs to process these feelings. It's not... Because this is what just kind of we see, this part leads to part of the cycle, is that a parent is incarcerated, a kid feels bitter, resentful, angry at their parent, angry at the system, angry against the man, whatever they blame for all of this. And then
and
they
guess
either
what?
Take a trajectory that's totally different than their parent, or they follow in their footsteps.
And guess what? The way that Doug knows how to be a father from probably his father and his grandfather before him is to be hard on your son and say, so smarten off's going to get your ass whooped. And what does that make Dougie do? How the fuck do you talk to me that way?
When you haven't been here for 12 fucking years.
Exactly. So neither one of them really knows how to be a parent or a son at this point.
I wonder if, golly, I wish we had something. I don't know if we have... For people that are incarcerated that have children, if they get out, if they get tools or anything, or when they're
it depends on the state, probably.
I doubt there's anything, but in prison, do they get tools to like a family therapy, or they learn how to deal? I don't know. I'm very interested in that. I'm concerned.
I honestly don't think society at large is very concerned about people who are incarcerated.
I have to share. I'm not going to do it because we're doing our podcast and telling dick jokes. But this show, I've already talked about the Earwolf podcast, and I love that podcast.
Ear Hustle.
Ear Hustle. Sorry. Earwolf is what? Oh, that's the company. Yeah. Ear Hustle podcast. I love Erlon. But between that and this podcast, like as a therapist, let's say Poodle, just finally, Poodle ruins our reputation at a party, a week-long party in Vegas. All of you just leave.
We say a month.
And we've got nothing. Like, my reputation's been ruined. I can't ever podcast again because I love it right now. But I would be interested in working with people that are incarcerated and just helping them adapt to life. I just think it's such an admirable thing to help with.
I'd enjoy watching you in prison.
Wow. I just really had a moment of vulnerability and hope, and you just made it horrible.
I can see you sashaying in there. Let's talk about your problems. Shut up, faggot. I just want you to be a little realistic. I was giving you a dose of realism.
Maybe.
I think you've got to be a little tougher to work in prison.
It's not. I'm tough. It's not that. But you're right. You know, that's what I originally, when I did therapy, I was very interested in working with veterans with PTSD. And I didn't go into it because of the gay ban in the military and all that.
Yeah.
I would have to overcome those obstacles. And yeah. I still don't think I would do it today because
I don't know if you're the one who people who are dealing with incarceration and all the, even with the sexual assault that goes on in prison and all
it's
that.
It's hard. I'd like to do it.
You may not be the one.
But I don't want to feel like white savior and all because it's dealing with a lot of people of color.
Too late.
I'll stick in my lane.
That's a good idea. So. Yeah.
You know what? I'm already taking care of this bitch and keeping you out of prison.
So, y'all, it's Dougie says it's one of the best days of my life and we're a family now.
Oh.
And so then they're sitting around and mom is talking to them and. I think this is time.
Oh, gee. What's the mom's
name
again?
For another installment, who cares?
We're going to say Jillian.
Poor put upon Rachel's mom.
Okay. Oh, no. Go ahead.
It's another installment of Lalu Theater. That was very. I don't like it when you button my singing. All right. So.
I'll be playing the role of Rachel's mom.
Jillian.
Yeah. And then Poodle's going to be playing the role.
I'm going to be both playing Doug and a little bit of Rachel.
Switch hitter.
Yeah.
Look at you.
It's basically going to be kind of similar things going on here.
Okay, great. Okay, great.
Thanks, Jillian. Thanks for making the woman I love. Thanks for making her for me.
Because she's mine. Oh, okay. Well, you know, kind of our father and I thought she was hers, and then she ended up marrying.
Nope, she's mine now. Let me pull her real close to show you how much she's mine.
All right, it looks a little tight there, you know. So, well, how'd it go yesterday? How did, getting out of prison?
You know, went really well. We went to the hotel, Mom. Oh, can I call you Mom? I'm gonna call you Mom.
No, Jillian, please.
And
please,
we said we're gonna start on giving you a grandbaby right away. You know what that means? We like fucked in that twin bed. I pummeled her like 3 or 4 times with my huge dong. This is Rachel. Oh. He did. It was great.
Oh, well, that's a new laugh,
what do you think
Rachel.
About that, Mom?
Didn't know, Rachel, you could laugh like Two-Face from Batman. That's new.
Yeah, I've learned a lot of things dating prison guys.
Are you going to go to trade school? You know,
I like a lot of trades. I learned a lot of trades in prison. You know, stealing things. Not going to get into that. I think I'm just going to like melt trash together and Well, just junk picking. I love picking up trash and making stuff with it.
Do you get benefits with that or a 401k?
I don't know. You talking crazy talk now. You talking about numbers? I don't know a lot of numbers. The only numbers I know are 911 if someone comes over and fucks me up.
Okay. Well, you know, Rachel,
I gotta get back to my craft group, so I'm gonna let y'all be a threesome.
We're gonna be fine. We're gonna be fine. Mom, you can come with us to lunch if you want.
I
still need to shove this in your face for another hour.
No, I'm just gonna let y'all. I'm gonna let y'all go to Ruby Tuesdays on your own as a family.
Good.
That's what you deserve.
Get the fuck out, Mom. I mean, okay. I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, you're sure.
Where's Dougie?
Tall and not threatening at all.
And scene.
Y'all, when Jelan leaves, she literally says, "My gut tells me he's not a good guy." And
you're right.
Your
gut's right. Now, I said last week, and I think I've said before, I'm really attracted to Doug. And that's my issue. I'm fucked up. I know that. And every time he's on screen, I want him to bang me and choke me. So I understand, Rachel. I know he's a bad guy. And I would never get into a relationship with him.
Mom even says, you know, she said it made my gut sick. And then she says, he knows where his bread is buttered. And she tells Rachel,
yeah,
I think he needs to be more humble.
Yeah, because he is. He's like, he's
the bravado.
Needling. Yeah, he's needling his new mother-in-law, or to-be mother-in-law, saying, look what I've got.
I've got.
I've taken your wife. I've taken your child.
I think a good mindset, and we'll talk about them more later, but think about the difference of Doug versus Josh.
Josh.
And where Josh's headspace is versus where Doug's is. Big difference.
I think Josh is trying to turn his life around in a Doug is alpha, though. Doug is super alpha.
Super
and as
alpha.
We know from watching Josh, he's like at least gamma because the dogs are there's an alpha dog that is making
there is.
Him.
That's true.
And I think Josh, there's something a little iffy about Josh. I don't know what it is. I think he feels he's an unknown quantity to me. And I do get a little nervous for Courtney, but not the way I feel nervous for Rachel. Y'all, this is a powder keg.
As she says, she's going to be making a lot of faces this season.
She's pulling them. She is mugging like an episode of The Little Rascals.
Her face, whenever he said, yeah, we tried to make a baby last night, she was like,
She was basically saying, yeah, I did it, Mom.
Still got it firm in me. What? What, dude? What?
I think you put it very correctly that this is all a big fuck you to her mom.
It's a big fuck you to her mom.
And a big kink, too. For her. Yeah. She's living her kink, y'all. So they are going to lunch. Doug is basically saying, you know, he's going to have to get used to the household and the way we do things around here.
Well,
already
Doug
trying
Jr.
to be like his
and Doug
dad.
Jr. already said too in front of Jelan and Rachel when they were talking, he was kind of like, Doug was saying, yeah, just nice to be with the family. And when the mom says, y'all should go as a threesome, and Doug Jr. says, well, he's really never known me truly anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So because Dougie Jr. is kind of at that age where he's still a kid, but he's 12. So he knows. He's developing the emotional tell, and he drops these kind of proofs.
You're testing your parents. You're testing his new father, who he thinks is a fuck up. And he's trying to figure out how his own identity is trying to distance himself from his father's identity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he wants his father to love him. And it's very, you know, Doug is a very complicated cheesy gordita crunch. Or Doug Jr. is a very complicated cheesy gordita crunch of feelings. Layers upon cheese upon now I'm hungry.
I was just saying, you're going to get Taco Bell today, aren't you?
He is a cheesy gordita crunch.
That is everything you're going to fight against today.
I will say, every time I think a cheesy gordita crunch is a good idea, then I have four bites, and then I realize it's not a good idea.
You know, I have to say, it was like 2 months ago, and my boyfriend and I, he was like, I just want to go to Taco Bell. I'm like, okay, sure. And we went.
Why?
He just was in the mood for it, but they got rid of, I've been freed. Taco Bell totally canceled and got rid of off of their menu everything that my and my boyfriend like from Taco Bell. Everything they have now is
gone. It's all the fucking same.
I know.
Everything's the same. Why? No, what?
shredded chicken, gone.
Oh, that stuff wasn't chicken.
Nacho Supreme, gone.
Really?
Yes. Double decker taco, gone.
But why can't you just get, you can get nachos.
It's not the same. It's not, I tried it.
All
it's,
that.
No, I'm saying it's, I feel free. I am free from Taco Bell.
Have you had those burritos with Fritos inside of them?
They're okay. They're not my thing.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I feel freedom. Like, you have no more control
over me.
You're
very picky about your trash food.
Oh, well, that's what you should be the pickiest about.
But
if you're going to eat trash, eat the specific trash.
I've never had Taco Bell during the day. It's always when I'm coming home from night and I are from something at night and I'm either a little hungry or I'm drunk.
I hadn't had it in probably
Uber.
Like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
He just kind of had a craving for it. So anyway, y'all.
I don't crave Taco Bell if my life is going great.
Okay. You say that, but you talked about it and brought it up, and tomorrow you're going to scream,
I want a cheesy gordita. No,
thing.
I'll find some way to make my own, because I'm into that. I'm making
it. You know what? I'll just do an Uber Eats and send it to your apartment, and they'll just knock on your door and say delivery for
Jake. I'll deny it.
But they'll have to leave the food sitting in the hallway. So that could be a game show. Will Poodle eat the food or not?
What you send me? Like, what is this?
I just put lemon bars on your doorstep and see how long it takes.
Oh, I'd eat
you
that.
Eat.
I mean, I'm just saying the food that I've railed against. Like, would I eat? I'm trying to think what food I don't think I really like.
But for me, it's like McDonald's just got rid of a Big Mac. Like, what if McDonald's got rid of chicken nuggets for you?
It would be like there would be kind of another hole in my heart.
That's how I feel about Taco Bell. I'm like, okay, we're moved on. Anyway.
Let's talk about, so Dougie, they're talking about, and they're like, so many girls. Again, this kind of like hyper-masculine way to relate to Dougie. Dougie says,
Dougie Jr. doesn't like the dicky.
How many girlfriends you got? And he's like, one. He's like, but like 10 on TikTok. He's like, good boy. And Doug says, throws it out there. Well, you're like, you have like 10 last year. And like the mother's going,
oh.
Even Rachel's like, Rachel, so what? He's a philanderer. I'll do what I want.
Rachel, can I speak to you in the lounge? In the den?
You're going to talk to Doug too. It really is this kind of, it's a game of chicken that she's playing with her mother. It's so interesting.
What happened to dens? What happened to sunken dens? I want a house where we have a sunken den.
They went out, thankfully. They're awful.
No, I love a den.
I think you can still find them in Palm Springs. Got kind of mid-century modern thing.
Mm.
So y'all, in the little featurette that we have, they are, he, that's where he's microwaving the bologna, and this one had such an extreme reaction. She also says, I prefer Spam, but I will.
You know, I have never had Spam.
It's very popular in Hawaii.
It is,
especially in, or the Philippines, or like,
I think
like
in Samoa too.
I think so. Yeah. I just know, I have Filipino friends who, like it.
It looked like when Asuelu was cooking for Kalani, it looked like he had made Spam.
Maybe. That was corned beef in it.
Have you ever had it? I've never had it.
I have. But it was at a Hawaiian restaurant, and it was but it was like foodie kind of Spam, ways to use Spam that are foodie. I think it was like a Spam taco.
Oh
with
my
things.
God, boy!
Yeah, y'all, if you come to LA, we will find a way to make your food bougie. We can make
horrible.
Spam bougie.
You are gross, God.
So
they're eating dinner now. It's the three of them, and Dougie Jr. kind of says to his dad, he's like, so he just gets to it. He's kind of like, would you change the choices that you've made?
This is riveting because Doug is getting grilled by his son.
Because he's at that age where he doesn't know. He's got all this up inside of him. And where Doug needs to say something. He needs to kind of, he needs to address these questions head on, and he needs to apologize.
Yeah.
He needs to show remorse. He needs to show that he wants to do better. He needs to say that it's, that he needs to explain addiction and those kind of things to his son. And he doesn't do any of that.
Doug considers himself an addict, by the way. So he hasn't said he's had, now he drinks non-alcoholic beer, but we've had no, I know
that he has. He's had to, because as soon as she said non-alcoholic beer, I'm like, okay.
I agree. Maybe it's just not been on the show.
Maybe not. Yeah. And so, but he doesn't address his questions. He kind of just laughs
them off. He jokes about it because that's what a model of a father did for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't make any kind of emotional connection.
Maybe that's what a model of a father, you know, Doug, he's mentioned before, I would have, that I don't know if his father joked about things, because Doug talks about they grew up really, really, really poor.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you, just kind of the way Doug is and his behavior, I don't think his father joked. I think his father probably, if Dougie Jr. said these things to Doug, to his dad, if Doug had said these things to his dad probably would have slapped him across the face.
I agree.
So I think I say that because I think Doug probably thinks he's doing a much better job than what his father did for him.
That's probably true. And yeah, he just like, I'm not going to be like my dad.
And he doesn't have the tools to know. So I think he probably is trying, but it's not going to go over.
That's a good point. I liked it where the son actually said, so how many times did you drop the soap? Basically,
I missed that. I was typing.
Can you imagine? And this is the thing. Doug is trying to feel like more of a big brother than a dad. He's like, just on my birthday. And I'm like, that is a good answer. That is a good answer. And then I went somewhere because I thought about Doug in prison and what he would do.
So, yeah. But
God, I need to work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, I realize now my job is to keep you out of prison.
Ooh.
Especially when we're traveling the country. You're welcome, God, America. I'm keeping him out.
If I see a Doug, boy, it's going to be at a convenience store. It's going to be hard.
Y'all, if you come to a live show and your husband looks like Doug, don't leave him alone with
Google. Don't leave him alone with me.
It's not going to go good.
I'm not responsible for what happens. You wouldn't give a hungry pit bull a steak.
I think I'm going to have to put the life track on your phone whenever we do live shows.
So,
or OnStar.
I just hope I'm dating someone in that period that we're doing a tour. That way I won't be as...
Oh.
I know. It's not good for me to be single on the road.
Well, you need to work on that because we're going on the road next year. Hopefully.
Not good. So he is, Dougie's asking him those questions. And I said, Dougie is being very inquisitive because he's testing to see where his boundaries are.
You're right. It's all about
testing completely
boundaries.
Figuring out his own identity, because that's how we establish our own identities, you guys, where we have to establish how we are different from our parents, and that helps us, and how we are the same. And that is the only rubric for us.
And you really need to diffuse this stuff, which again, Doug doesn't have the tools. Like when Dougie Jr. says, here, cut this, and he calls his father a slave.
Yeah.
Like, so that's...
And you're right. Doug probably thinks he's being a good dad because he's not slapping...
Because his dad would knock the shit out of him for saying that. Whereas I think Doug is really trying to give him the benefit of doubt, but maybe he doesn't talk about it in the restaurant, but when he gets home and he says, you know, he needs to say... Why did you call me that? And let the kid. What basically? You're right. It's testing boundaries, but it's also, y'all, it's like he's dropping seeds that he wants to start a conversation, and the parent has to water that seed, and so the kid will feel safe enough to talk.
Yeah, Doug doesn't have the capacity to do that right now.
Doug has a black thumb.
So
a black thumb.
And a big dick.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. God.
Ooh. Stop visualizing it. Stop it.
Ooh.
Stop
so
it.
So he basically, Doug says that Dougie gets away with murder with Rachel, and we're going to have to change that. Things are going to change because I'm going to be the rule breaker. But if he's the rule, I'm going to be the rule maker. And but if he's going to be the rule breaker, there's going to be consequences.
Or as
Ding,
my
smile.
Yes. Or as my father said, your ass is grass and I'm the lawnmower.
Jesus. Does that mean he eats your ass?
My dad uses a lot. He really talks about if he gets griped, he would say like, boy, if you don't get your shit together, I'm going to eat your ass out.
Yeah, and there's I'm like, a lot of ass eating.
I know.
Analingus.
And you know, my brother, I feel like people say that a lot here.
Yeah.
I'm used to, you know, California. If somebody says, hey, if you keep messing up, I'm going to eat your ass out. And
you're
I'm
like,
say,
is that an offer or a promise?
Yeah, let me keep messing up. Gladly.
So after that, like Doug ends it with the coup de grace of, you filthy womanizer. I was like, now... This is a term that he's had to hear from other people.
Yes.
Because no 12-year-old says womanizer.
And we have to remember, Dougie Jr. doesn't have a mom. Mom's out of the picture, too.
I think he grew up with grandparents. Or maybe, and I'm sure.
I should say, sorry to interrupt, but I remember Rachel said it's been like the last 2 years he hasn't had a mom. So maybe he did have a mom growing up, but she... But she is on drugs and using drugs. We know that is sure, for sure.
We do see a little preview of this next season where I think we see her.
Next episode, you mean? Or
No, the rest, when they said this season on.
Oh, that looked good.
Yeah, there's a lot of fighting on the rest of this season.
We see a dill pickle jar. Who knows what's in that?
I have a lot of hope for them, but I just have this gut feeling that...
Courtney and Josh make me want to believe in
Josh is going to... somehow
no,
fuck up. Or
I think Josh is going to do it.
I don't know. I just have a gut feeling.
Let's talk about someone that's not going to
simping ain't easy.
Simping.
as that meme that's been going around, simping ain't easy.
Let's talk about Deontay and Nicole.
Deontay.
What did I say?
It's got an A, Deontay.
Well, I said Deontay.
No, you Deontay. Said Deontay.
It's Deontay.
How are
right?
you spelling it?
D-A-O-N-T-E. Yes. Deontay. Yeah. Okay. Gary, roll that footage. So anyway, y'all.
I'm going to be right 98% of the time.
91.
You don't remember. You don't have total recall.
I don't know. So now, okay, y'all. First of all, I want to say Deontay really enjoyed. If you haven't watched our meme that our sissy Christina edited on the sissy team.
From our
Instagram, she edited a meme of our Nicole Jr. commercial.
And we tagged him.
And the first person to comment on that was Deontay. And
he
said, I'm fucking dead.
I'm fucking dead. He's a good sport, y'all.
He's a good sport.
So.
This is where I have to check myself because he's a good sport about it and he laughs at himself. And then he posts an ab picture. And then I just think about his really big dick, and then I want to have sex with him.
But he's so kind of, we've said before, the aching void of need in his eyes.
I'm telling you, you've got your issues with Doug. I have Deontay. When Nicole,
you need to help Deontay, and I need to have Doug smack me around.
Yeah, where she was dancing on Deontay and the way he was looking at her ass,
you want to be that.
Yes, I want to dance for Deontay.
I feel like being needed that much would actually would make me actually throw up.
I'm just saying.
If someone needed me that much,
I'd let him hit it.
But I can't even respect Deontay.
Oh, man.
Someone also
said, sorry, I just want to say this, and I kind of agree. I kind of almost want to call her this. Someone called Nicole Destiny Jr.
Yeah. Although she has less personality.
She has less personality. But y'all, as Poodle said about Destiny, Nicole is a career criminal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Y'all.
She ain't rehabilitated, y'all. She's just working her next mark.
Yep.
She's very young.
Mm-hmm.
She... unfortunately, the only reason she went to jail, she thinks, it's not that she did wrong. She got caught.
Yep.
So there is no, I'm going to play by the ethical rules.
No.
There is no, I will do what benefits me. It's very, yep. very, very, dude. I was busy.
I'm going
to get that girl's number.
Dude, Scott, they gave me their checking account. What was I supposed to do?
And you gave me the car.
You left the keys
car. No, I didn't. I didn't give you the car.
Well, I thought you gave me the car.
When you had sex last night with me, you said, take the keys to my car.
And sign over your house to me.
Dude, it's simple.
So, you got, he's taking her to his house, his crib, he says. And, of course, there's a huge heart with rose petals because they're a big sponsor.
The rose petals are back.
There's an enormous bear on the bed. I don't know what the appeal is of these huge stuffed animals. You can't sleep with them. You just have to move them out of the way.
I got my girlfriend Jessica one when we were in eighth grade. I got her a big bear. It was in the principal's office, and she was really touched by it.
What do you think happened to it after that?
I think it probably got burned.
Or thrown away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah.
They're useless. Y'all, if you're listening and you want to buy your girlfriend something, don't buy her an enormous stuffed bear.
No.
It's garbage.
It's garbage.
I guess you could fuck it if she was out of town.
Wow.
Cut a hole in it like Nicole Jr.
Well, you could hide your Nicole Jr. in it if you needed to be secretive
about
it. That's
true. Or drugs. Maybe Nicole can hide drugs in it.
I want to say that while he's going to pick up, Nicole basically says, you know, I've been keeping in touch with Zach, but I walk in and I see this house with the roses and then the bear and then there's shoes and a purse. And I think I made the right decision.
I think that was supposed to be a heartwarming moment for her.
Yeah.
But it just sounded like I'm glad I waited for the best offer.
I'm glad I'm still getting shit.
So there's gifts everywhere, and he's like, look under the bear. And there's lingerie under the bear. And she's like, baby, I told you, I need time. I just got out of prison. I have so much anxiety. But, you know, you don't have enough anxiety to talk to your ex on text.
No.
So
and he's like, well, I just thought, you know, maybe you want to just put it on and model for me.
So, y'all, she puts on the lingerie. She's like, you know, I used to dance in prison it's someone's birthday,
and
they pay
went,
for me a dance.
Okay.
And she's like, I take a cup of water and pour it over my head.
Just like a bottle of Aquafina is fine.
And I was like, this is bargain basement stripping in prison. So she comes out, and she has a very substantial booty, y'all.
Yeah, she does.
And she is all up on him. She's like, sit on your hands.
She's done this before.
Yeah.
Because she says, you can't touch me. And he's like, but babe, I want it. She's like, nope, you can't touch me.
Yeah. Now, this is part of her kink to have complete control over her simp.
And usually when women are stripping, they lean down and they whisper things like, do you like that, baby?
No.
Oh, your manhood's so throbbing.
Sounds like you have experience with this.
Yeah. Nicole leans down and says, this would be better if I had big boobs.
I mean, well done.
Well, chef's kiss.
She's good.
She's good. And he goes, what? And she's like, yeah, babe, I like this lingerie, but wouldn't it be better if my boobs just filled it out?
And then she says, so you know what? No sex until I get my boobs. And I went, he's not going to go for this, is he? Because of course he is.
Of course he is.
And she comically goes out and slams the door, and he throws himself against the door in the throws of blue balls.
In the throws of blue balls on his knees. Stop short with the door shut.
Yes. The next thing is he's picking her up because, y'all, she did not feel comfortable staying.
Yeah.
Shocking.
So he took her back to the house, and she stayed with her mom.
I have to admire her a little bit here. Oh, she is running a great game on him.
She is. She is.
So they meet at the salon. They meet Audrey, her best friend in prison.
Whose mugshot looked rough.
I was like, someone's had a glow up post-prison.
She had a black eye. It was rough.
Yeah, it looked rough. So she's getting hair extensions. And of course, Deontay's going to be paying. And she's like, and my man's out buying me a new dress as well.
New dress. And Audrey says, well, when's the last time you had sex?
And with a man or a woman. And everyone goes, ooh. And the words of, who was it? Oh, I fainted. From last season. What was her name? Oh, I fainted.
Oh, I fainted.
Yes.
Who was that? It was Tyrese's
friend.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I fainted. Oh, I loved her. Bring her back. Oh, Tyrese. Oh.
Tyrese's friend, when she would go, oh, I fainted. Oh, I fainted. That's what I did when she said that. Oh, I fainted.
And so the hairdresser's like, oh, okay. So he's buying you all this stuff. And she's like, even Nicole's, he's like, she's getting extensions. She says, I just want to look like Barbie. I want to look like Barbie.
Barbie's not real. So she says about sex with that girl, she's like, prison is just a playground full of bitches.
Full of bitches.
Right. Could have come right out of Destiny's mouth.
Oh, for sure. And she says, Audrey got out like 6 days before her. I'm going to say this now. Audrey's not a good friend. She's
not a good influence.
Audrey's like, well, what about Tia? And Nicole says, oh, yeah, I forgot I was into her, too.
She's very special to me.
I was kind of hung up on her. I don't know why I was hung up on her. I just kind of was.
Then we find out that she was with her for a year.
For a year. And Audrey says, why don't you call her? And she goes, you're right. What a good friend.
Why don't you call, now that you're with a guy outside who's simping for you, why don't you call your prison ex who is female? What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Oh, I love this show.
I do too. She's calling. And meanwhile,
Simp is coming back in.
Is walking right up.
So next, ready to move on to Courtney and Josh.
Yes. Y'all, this couple, I'm telling you, you have a feeling about Josh. I don't want to believe it. I want to believe in love. I want to believe in hope.
I believe in pickles. I think he's trying to do the best he can. There's just this, he's unstable for me. And I think like he's a deeply hurt person. And
we're
almost certainly he has a history of sexual abuse because of what she's talked about.
Who doesn't get out of being incarcerated, though? And is it unstable? And
I agree.
I think that Josh...
He just seems to be hanging by a thread here for me.
He seems to be hanging, but he also seems to be acknowledging... that he's not stable. Like, he has an awareness about it a little bit.
Yeah. I just, there's just something about him that, I don't know. I'm hoping everything for them. We're going into the house of dogs.
Yeah.
I wrote down, I think the dog's representation mandated that they be in every shot.
I'm fine.
But the dog's agents.
That's true. But for people also, though, that struggle with addiction and things like that, the chances of them, their chances of success are higher if they have animals, if they have dogs.
I believe it. But the animals are up on them at all times. That's what I'm talking about.
Can you imagine, though, if your mother had three muffins, what it would be like?
You're right. She would be. These dogs are all up on her, and I'm sure that's something that she's probably encouraged.
I think a lot of people are like that with their dogs. I think you and I are not, I'm a very much a dog person. But I like dogs a little more, like be in the room, sit at my feet.
Right. But But this is one of the first times that someone with dogs is, they're in every shot.
They are, but I think this is a lot of people. My brother's dogs are just like this. My dad's dog's just like this. I think a lot of people's dogs are like this. I agree with you. It's hilarious and it makes me laugh. But I think.
But I wonder if it's just normally, because this was done during COVID, normally production says, can you get your fucking dog out of the shot?
Maybe.
Because we're just trying to get you and we're
Courtney,
trying to have.
I can't see your face.
Yeah. Or instead of letting your dog lick its balls in front of you while you're talking about trying to mend your relationship of your family, and that may be funny, so we don't want people to see your dog's testicles.
Fair point.
So maybe it's because that they were filming during COVID, but the dogs are always like, I bet they can't have sex without the dogs actually like rubbing up against them and smelling them.
Oh. Come at Poodle if you have sex with your dog on the bed. Oh, come at Poodle, because I think you'll be surprised.
No, I believe that happens.
Dog people are going to come for you. Ooh.
I'm not
you're
saying
gonna
it doesn't
get
happen.
It.
But I'm sorry. My dog would need to be out of the room.
Oh, you're going to get
with
it?
Guys, I've been with guys with dogs, and I have maintained that the dog cannot be there watching. Now the dog's usually scratching at the door sometimes, and sometimes the other gentleman will laugh, and I'm like, "Fuck him! I don't care about your goddamn dog right now. I'm the one that's important."
Yeah, you're gonna get letters.
There's nothing wrong with putting the dog.
No, not
outside.
At all. I wouldn't want a dog looking at me while I'm getting hammered either.
I know. Just looking at you going, just judging,
turning
you
their head.
And going, boy, what's this that? Is really, you best really feel gross about yourself.
Wait, why are you barking, Daddy? I'm the one that's supposed to bark.
So y'all, Josh is, he wrote a letter, it seems like, and I was a little confused about this because he kept calling his grandmother Mama Rose or grandmother Mama.
First of all, they keep calling her Mama Rose. And
you'll
I just,
be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate.
Y'all, that's
Josh, you're in prison. Come to see me. Everything's coming up jailbird.
Oh, God. That was terrible. Oh, God. Oh, y'all, that's from Gypsy. If you don't know it, then you need to stop listening to this episode right
and
now.
And listen to the original cast recording.
Or watch the Bette Midler movie at least.
Listen to the Merman recording or the Angela Lansbury. Those are the better recordings.
Yeah, recordings. If you want a movie, watch that. Don't watch the original movie with
Rosalind Russell.
That's not a great. I don't like that Gypsy movie.
Boy, the fact that I can list the best Gypsy recordings that of the five or six that there are. I will say the best one I've ever seen is with Tyne Daly. She didn't sing it as well, but she really got Mama Rose.
My favorite recording is the Angela Lansbury one, though.
Yeah, but it's not filmed.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about
it. We need to move on. This got real gay for a minute.
Because then it just makes me mad that Rosalind Russell was also in fucking MAME.
But she's great in MAME.
Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball. Well, no, that was terrible.
Lucille Ball. Sorry, yeah.
Sorry,
Rosalind Russell was MAME in the film version of MAME. Lucille Ball was MAME in the musical.
That is a fabulous movie, Anti-MAME with Rosalind Russell.
Anti-MAME is great with Rosalind. This has become so fucking gay. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we took it there.
Yeah.
So, Mama Rose.
But he wrote Mama Rose a letter basically telling her to fuck off.
Yeah, I think that was what I gleaned out of it. And we don't know what it said, but they just keep referencing it.
This is what, to me, shows some growth in Josh. Because, y'all, a lot of people, when they're struggling with addiction, things like this, they go through this period of, I'm trying to think people we've had on the show, because I know we've had it. Well, Destiny, everything that happens to them is somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
No responsibility. Dude, I went to jail, Sean, because you didn't have your shit together. And it's all your fault. And I think Josh was probably in that state
when he wrote that letter.
Mama Rose a letter. And it's great now that he's not and he's accepting responsibility. But we don't know what was in the letter, but it must be hardcore because when he calls her, this is his grandmother who raised him. And she's like, hi.
Yeah. It's like, hey.
She's really.
I was like, okay, that's cold.
And he's crying and saying, I love you. I want to talk to you. Can I come out there? And she's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Don't know.
Now, it could be that Mama Rose, it's so funny for me to have to keep saying this, Mama Rose is trying to set boundaries, which is a good thing.
No, I'm not shading Mama. Yes, yeah. I'm not shading. That's fine. But even when he says, they kind of agree, says, okay, I can come out and we can have a talk. And she said, okay. And he said, I love you. And she says,
okay. Ah. I think Mama Rose has probably had a tough life.
Oh.
I just have a feeling.
There have been a lot. They're going to go see her. And y'all, there have been a lot of tough talks on this swing.
On Granny's sit around, as it was labeled.
Yeah.
There was a sign. There was a sign that said Granny's sit around.
Oh, that's Meemaw's chair.
There's been a lot of tough conversations about drugs.
That's Mama's porch.
Mama's tune.
Still, if I was to choose one of my favorite scenes from, and it was that show, Extreme Sisters, if I was to choose, it would be that one, probably of the seasons of television we've watched this year.
You're welcome.
I love that character actress. I hope she's playing to great acclaim. Meg Brockie or Meg in Brigadoon right now.
Oh yes, I'm sure. Yeah,
the love of my life.
Yeah. Oh yeah, in Little Rock Community Theater. She's the one professional person they hired.
I'll never forget that face when they snuck back and her with her husband and her with that with in her shoulders, her going, oh. Just looking just like ourselves.
I love her.
Oh, bless her. So y'all, that we do go and see that we leave the dogs behind for a minute.
We do.
And we do see Grandma. And for the first time in 4 years, and I said, this is such a normal house. And you, like you said, the tough things. Can you imagine the children that Grandma's probably had to take in?
Oh.
And the things that Grandma's had to do to either do something that her kids wouldn't do or for other families. This woman, y'all, has seen some shit. So Mama Rose says, without pathos or anything, this is just how it was. Yeah, I raised Josh because his mother was on drugs and didn't want to. Yep. And Josh's dad's visitation was canceled because he hid beer. He gave the kid beer. So I was the only one going to do something.
Yep.
Camera just goes on her face and the crew's like, fuck. It's just like, what? It's happened. So what? That's that kind of hillbilly elegy generation.
I was going to say it's that hillbilly elegy
generation. They've seen so much shit, but why get upset about it? That's just how things happen. And because, when they do get upset, they want to look aside and they do start to cry, but they don't want anyone to see it.
It's this, y'all, it's a generation that's especially in the South. You know, which where
it's
are
Angela's
they?
Mom from 90
where
Day.
Where are they? Where are they again?
Tennessee.
It's just extreme poverty was everywhere.
I think they're in Tennessee. Maybe I'm wrong. I know that's where Anissa is. She's in Tennessee.
Yeah. Just extreme poverty was everywhere. It's the ramifications. It's the generations and generations of that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're in Ohio. I think that's probably closer. It's all rural America, y'all.
Yeah,
this show features a lot of rural America.
Yeah.
So The next thing there, Josh says, I'm sorry to her. I sent that letter. That wasn't wrong. And she gets upset. And in the moment, she's like, I don't want to talk about it. I need to. And she's like, Granny, she's like, he's like, I was, it really bothered me. I never thought I'd see you again after that letter. And she says, I'm glad you have Courtney to.
He said, me too. And she said, well, you really put her through it as well. And Josh said, yep. I was a dickhead to her in prison too. And he talks about, you know, the way we got married, you know, they had two people stand in for them to get married. And he Proxy. Said, yeah. And he said, I'd like to get remarried. And that's something I dream of. And she's like, well, yeah, that could be nice. And Courtney comes back and.
I want bees and like, chickens.
I just want 70 acres. My dream is to have bees and chickens. And I actually teared up and I thought she just wants her somewhere that's green. That's
she does.
All she wants with Josh. And I want them to make it so bad.
She's the person of this whole season that we root for the most.
Oh
yeah. I do believe in her. I don't have the biggest. I have hope for Josh, but I just have this feeling. I don't know.
You know,
maybe I'm completely wrong.
I don't think you're wrong. I think you're just being cautious, but maybe a little cynical because I think what the difference of people that succeed in outside of prison, I think from a limited experience, and those who don't is two things: A, their ability to take responsibility, and then B, what type of support do they have on the outside?
Right.
And not to throw Rachel under the bus, but Rachel is not a good support system for Doug.
No.
And she's not. And if you look at if we're looking at other couples, like obviously Stan is a horrible support system for Lisa. And Jeff, we don't know yet, but Courtney, I think really is like,
I totally agree with you.
A good support for
Josh. But I think it takes, with those two things that you just said, I think it also takes a huge amount of effort and a lot of luck.
Yes, but it's got to be those two things to start with.
Yeah, I agree.
If they're not accepting responsibility and they have bad support, not going to happen.
I agree. Anissa and Jeff.
Oh, y'all.
Okay. Imaginary boyfriend?
This woman's a gift. I will say, I really am impressed with it because y'all, first of all, everybody's smoking and everyone still smokes.
The South, man. It's still.
But I will say when Anissa doesn't wear a lot of makeup, she looks kind of hard.
Yeah.
But when she curled her hair in those weird curlers and put on makeup, I went, bitch, you had a glow up. You look good.
When she did her eyebrows with a toothbrush, she was...
She looked good. It was really pretty.
Is that a thing that you've seen before?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know my mom.
Toothbrushes are great.
Yeah, my mom will do that with hers.
Toothbrushes are great for your eyebrows.
I just was like, but you don't see that advertised.
No.
As a way. Because
they actually make very realistic.
Right.
And if you're not a makeup artist and you don't know how to paint like every single hair, it's good for people probably like your mom who just want to do it quickly. It's a great tip.
But I remember seeing my mother do that all the time.
You just dip it in that powder, and then you just brush your eyebrows on. That's it.
But I remember going, are you using a toothbrush on your face? I've never seen anyone do that as a child.
I used to love and just sit and watch my mama do her makeup all the time.
That's
one of my favorite memories. I'd just talk to my mama and ask her questions. I'd say, Mama, how'd you get so pretty? Mama, is Wonder Woman real?
Wow.
Mama, could I drink the Kool-Aid man if he was here?
She's like, that's it, Matthew. Get out.
Maybe go in the living room and wrestle with your brother. I don't want to, Mama. I want to look at your makeup.
And when
honey,
she...
go be a Von Erich. Go.
And then when she leaves, she goes,
just breathe out. Breathe out.
So you guys, they're going to pick up Jeff because he's driving from Louisiana on the bus to Chattanooga. And as she says, he's going to live a happy, boring country life now. Again, she's trying to domesticate someone who's formerly incarcerated.
Yeah, and she said, I'm a little worried because he's a little younger than me. And the pictures that we see of Jeff, he looks fit and youngish, but then his mugshot looks weird.
And time, and then we see his a couple other pictures, and you think, time's not been good.
No,
and not been good. So she
But she's driving with her friend Kyle, in the car.
Maybe I got this wrong. She is going with him, or he's going with her, because she doesn't like to drive. And so I thought he would be driving.
I thought it was like my grandma Hazel. She didn't like to drive at night after that tornado because she was afraid there'd be a storm and she wouldn't see it. So she wouldn't drive. So we'd have to go get her and drive her.
I'm sure she was probably afraid of a lot of things.
Oh, yes. She was afraid because our dad was driving from Amarillo out to California on a 2-lane highway. And at night, there was a trucker who got drunk at night and swerved over and killed her father.
Southern stories.
And then she had to live with her mother, who she hated.
It's a wonder Grandma Hazel produced such well-adjusted children.
Yeah.
Basically, they're picking him up in Chattanooga, and they're going to take him to the halfway house, and we have 45 minutes to do it. Mm-hmm. And basically, he says that the explanations for his two previous no-shows are that he wasn't ready to live and make a life with her.
But he also does say, I was totally using her.
We don't see him yet.
Oh, that's
awesome. Don't jump.
I jumped.
You ruined the reveal.
Well, they watched the show, y'all.
But we'd have to do this with theater and gusto.
Fine, I'll edit it. Gary, take that out.
Yeah, you never will. He says he was using me the first times, but it is completely different now. And Kyle, her friend, is just like, yeah, we'll see.
I believe it when I see it.
Then the bus is there and the bus leaves. And I think, oh no,
she's just standing there with her little Sunday school sign that says, welcome home, Jeff. It literally looks like
the office supply store.
Yes. And so she's just, and no one gets off the bus. And she's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
And she kind of goes around to see if he's there. And he's there, y'all. We see Jeff. And he's like, I fell asleep on the bus, and an old lady woke me up.
And an old lady baby found me. I was so nervous. Y'all.
He's been ravaged by drugs, y'all.
He looks rough.
His mouth is all methed out.
At least he's not super skinny, so hopefully he hasn't been using. But, y'all, they have to subtitle him because you can't even understand what he says anymore.
Drugs have ravaged this man.
Yeah, they really have. It's very
sad. Really bad.
And we know that because that's where he says he used Anissa when he was in jail for $50,000 and he spent it all on drugs.
So that's the thing, you guys, you think you go into prison to rehabilitate even if you're not on drugs, but you can get drugs in prison and you become addicted to drugs in prison. And if you're in a state like Louisiana, which is where he was, they don't do anything for you.
Yep.
You just sit there.
Some people go to prison, especially a lot of, you know, people of color go to prison for a minor offense and then get on drugs in prison because they're in fucking prison and they're depressed because they feel like the world's against them. Yes.
So
uplifting show.
He basically says that I never had any intention of living with her the first two times, but then the last time I got off drugs, I fell in love with her and I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with her.
I came down from meth and I met Anissa for the first time.
So, y'all, Kyle is sitting in the back. Basically, it's a pissing contest from moment one.
Y'all, Kyle's in love with Anissa.
I know. We knew that from the first time we saw him. But now we know it.
Or, and we don't know that she has. Anissa's been giving Kyle money too. But I can't imagine Anissa having a lot of money, y'all, because she lives a very modest life.
Yeah.
She's way out in the country in a little trailer house.
It's a single wide.
Yeah. So, but I can't imagine her having.
Do you call them trailer houses?
Yeah, we call them trailer houses.
No, they're trailers. I've never heard trailer house.
That's what we say, trailer house, yeah.
That's a regionalism because...
A single wide or double wide trailer house.
No, it's a trailer, a double wide trailer.
But it's a house. A trailer is what you haul your lawnmower on.
Maybe that, if but said, all country songs just say
trailer. Now, some people will say single wide or double wide.
Yeah.
No. My dad has a trailer. He has three trailers. I painted a trailer once.
I need to do research on this because I'd love to see where they're regionally calls it a trailer or trailer house.
No gives a shit.
But I'm saying I'd never heard until just now trailer house.
Yep.
I've only heard trailer.
There you go.
Because y'all, where I grew up, there are a lot of trailers.
Where I grew up, there's a lot of trailer houses.
It just sounds funny to hear trailer house. I don't know why.
Well,
is it weird to hear trailer? They live in a trailer?
No, but no one ever...
It seems like redundant to see me say trailer house.
When you say trailer, when you say they live in a trailer, I imagine that they're living in like a trailer.
A boat trailer?
Not even, like just a flatboard trailer that we haul shit on.
Interesting.
To the dump.
That just tells you regionalisms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really not that interesting. It's only interesting to me.
What person cares?
Kyle is needling. So come on, y'all. Do you call them trailers or trailer houses?
Kyle,
I want to know. I want to know what parts. No, because I'm interested in what people
am aging.
Well, no, but I'm saying you really defended. You're like, no, it's a trailer home. So no,
defend what it was. I'm just defending what we said. Yes.
But I'm saying if you heard it, that's the only thing you heard growing up. I'm interested to see, is it a regional thing? Is it a Texas, Oklahoma thing to say trailer house? Or is it just something you grew up with?
And I only heard really the term single wide and double wide in country songs.
Oh, we say it all the time. Double wide. That's a symbol of status.
I mean, yeah, it is. Not if somebody has a double wide.
Yeah.
Now, so now people, a lot of them call them, there's also people, we've said they live in
mobile homes.
Mobile homes,
yeah.
We'll say that too.
I live, don't call me trailer trash, I live in a mobile home. It's from a musical called Cowgirls.
We've gone off the rails for the fourth time this episode.
And that's obscure, y'all. Don't call me trailer trash.
You know what? I feel vindicated for my baloney rant.
Let's talk about Stan and Lisa.
I just want to say, Kyle the whole time is commenting on Jeff and pissing Jeff off. Yeah. And he's just basically like, it's really rude. Like, he needs to shut the fuck up. They just met. Well, it's not his time.
It's shocking that he's even there.
It is.
I think production invited him personally, even though she's driving.
Let's talk about a couple we all...
They're going to go all the way.
All the way. Stan and Lisa.
And Stan's ferret, Cosmo.
Or as Pink Shea says, great value, Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner.
It really is the most accurate description. Stan says, Lisa's not as affectionate as I'd hoped she'd be on the car ride home. I thought she would have at least given me a wristy on the I-94.
Honey, you basically bought your own lesbian. You didn't know. So we're getting the girls out of the car. 3-0.
Hey-oh, gonna get bangs.
It's so weird to see them carrying these wigs.
That's 3-0's next hit, is that when they get put on, they're all gonna get bangs.
And it's all in the single, it's called We All Got Bangs.
Yeah,
we all got bangs. And why they got bangs. Like, my ex-boyfriend broke up with me.
Yeah.
And then she got bangs and I liked them. And then she saw it and wanted to be part of the group. Got bangs now.
I kind of want someone to write that
bangs,
pop song.
We all got bangs. We all got bangs. We all got bangs. 3-0. We don't need no man now. Go power. Y'all take the, if you're on Peloton, take the Spice Girls ride from Leanne Hainsbury. Hainsby, I think.
Boy, you fucked that up.
I also, I think Lorraine Hainsbury is the one who wrote Raisin in the Sun. I just did a Maddie. Leanne Hainsbury. Not Lorraine Hans. Lorraine, Leanne Hainsby, not
this
Lorraine Hainsbury. Hello, Peloton. We're Yo. Going to talk about race relations.
Okay, we've got to do this. So Stan and Lisa, so he's like, she's not in a very good mood right now. And since I feel bad for her.
Perceptive.
Yeah, I feel bad for her. She has to deal with her problem kids. But you know what? Let's get her settled. She's got her own bedroom because I've had night terrors since I was a kid, and I don't like to sleep in the bed with people. And I like that he said this kind of like...
I screeched.
It's like he said, it's like, you know, I'm a snorer, so I don't want to keep her awake. He just
don't want to.
I have night terrors. So is it just you're in the middle of Stan's house?
Now, y'all, night terrors are a very serious thing.
They are.
People who get them, it's a scary thing. No, when... Night terrors are, I was with someone or I was sleeping with someone who did have night terrors, and it was terrifying to use that. It was, they would wake up with a start and just, they a lot of times don't know it was a dream. And so there's a period where they're really, really scared of what just happened.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I feel, that's horrible, horrible, horrible.
So I did, I of course handled it very well by breaking up with that person.
Yeah. Real well.
Anyway.
And really, you fucked it up because you could have made the case to have your own bedroom always.
Oh, God, you're right. He didn't have any money. That would have never worked. Already, it was a non-starter.
You don't care about that. He had a small dick, didn't he? There we are.
It wasn't bad.
There we are.
But when I go back, y'all, if a picture of your penis is murky, it didn't really make that much of an imprint.
I get that.
Yeah. If a picture kind of looks like an abstract art in my mind, if I can't source and go, oh yes, there we are. Yes, I remember that penis. If it's not on my immediate Rolodex of dick pics, chances are it wasn't impressive. There are some. There are like I could identify the top 10 easily.
Yeah, I kind of went somewhere when you said it. I was thinking of my top 5.
It is kind of like it's like those things they have in kids things saying what's the difference between these two pictures? I could go the watering can there. That woman's got a mole. That little boy, it's got different colored eyes.
Exactly. Can you imagine what it would have been like if we had cell phones like we do now in our 20s? Meaning that, y'all, we had cell phones. But remember, it wasn't until like probably I was like 32 that your contacts would all get transferred to your phone.
Remember, and you had to redo all your phone.
Remember how you re-entered your contacts every time? And that would be that, y'all, this is for you youngins that didn't have to... That would be when you purge old tricks, is that you don't put them in your new phone.
Yes, that would be it.
Think of how much good dick we lost because we just didn't. We're like, I'm not going to transfer them into my phone.
That's sweet that you actually created contacts for yours.
No, but we didn't have Grindr or anything then. So it's kind of, we would go to bars. So like, I'm just saying, if we had the roll of dick now.
No, I would just, that's why I have so many contacts that said that,
no.
that say the bar where I met them that doesn't have their last name. Or now for me, it's the contacts that I with the app that I met them on. There's a lot of people with the last name Scruff or Grindr.
And I've seen a lot. I'm like, Poodle, what's the initials PF? What's that, Poodle? Pickle Finder.
Oh, picklefinder.net. That's truly the creme of the crop.
Creme of the... So, anyway. Stan and Lisa. And so Lisa says, I'm not happy with Stan because at the end of the day, my kid needs me and he needs to change the way he thinks.
So, and y'all, this is an excuse to go out and meet women. So,
yeah, because Lisa tries to put on this "I'm a great mom," but it's just hard because, like, she even says they get settled. She's like, "I'll be right back," and she goes out to smoke. This wig with this hat looks so fucking ridiculous on awful. Her. She looks like Elsa's just long
lesbian trucker cousin.
Yes, yes, exactly. She looks.
So she
let
says,
"Let it be. Let it be."
She says she's upset with her son, and she said, "I was thinking that he could come here." So immediately he takes that as, "I want my son to move in on the first night."
I think that's what she meant, which is
that's extreme.
That's extreme on her part.
And he does try to say, "Maybe we give this a little time." Then she gets extremely angry and says, he gets extremely angry and says, "Well, I was thinking we could start our new life tonight." And she's like, he said, "Your son's 22 years old. I thought he'd just man up and work on his own." He turns, y'all, mostly because he's had like two glasses.
Yeah, y'all, he's poured wine and he said,
Of a red wine blend.
Yeah, he's like,
gotten.
Half glass. Why half glass?
So she's one girl, one glass of wine drunk.
Also, his wine glasses really bother me.
They're ugly. They're so ugly.
They look like they're probably still from the 70s, but they look like goblets we used to like clear goblets like in a Catholic church.
Upside down light fixtures.
They're not pretty.
So he's getting really angry and he's like, "I gotta go take care of my kids." And he's like, "Well, I raised my children right. You didn't." And already we're just rage. We went from zero to white hot rage in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a shitty thing to say.
Again, this is one of those cases where we're going to find out, y'all, the person on the outside is worse than the person on the inside.
Oh, you mean, jail versus.
Yes. Meaning okay, got it. Like Stan is going to be way more. I think Lisa's been using Stan? Totally. 100%. She doesn't love him at all. But Stan believes he owns her and it's gross.
No, you're right. I think you're correct there.
And she's going to play him and use him and I'm kind of here for it.
She leaves and then he knocks over a glass of wine and we're left.
Oh, look what I did. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Boy.
I made a boner.
Ha! Ho-ho.
That's the show. This was a long one.
You know why? Because this show, y'all, is so good. If you're not watching
it, we don't mind talking about it.
If you're just listening to us, you're missing out.
You're missing out.
You've got to watch
it. You can just listen to us if you're doing 90 Day right now, because we basically cover everything you need to know. And if you've been watching 90 Day for a long time, you know these people anyway. They're not doing anything
especially
new.
Happy Liver After. Just listen.
Yeah, just listen to us.
Y'all, that's the show. Hey, you can come at us on Cameo. I just got one today. So come at us on Cameo, Poodle and myself. You can
I have to do a Saloon Girl cameo later.
Oh,
my third Saloon Girl.
Oh,
cameo.
She's catching on. What's her name again?
I need to go back and see what I called her.
Oh.
Something McGillicuddy. Or Francine McGillicuddy or something.
It had Poodle in it.
I'm a tough old broad.
Wasn't it Poodling McGillicuddy?
Yeah. Us ladies have to do what we do to survive.
The wig
I'm
he
a
has
businesswoman
is so
first.
Wow. Anyway, y'all, come at us on Cameo.
I make the best Campari sour this south of the Pecos.
Oh, y'all, hey, we really appreciate it. It helps us get the word out there. If you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. If you don't know what to write, you can always write, Keep going, Queens. We appreciate it so much. We're excited. We got a lot of shows coming up. We're going to do our best. For our patrons, we will be sending out a poll this week of what our Bicurious episode will be. That's for you to vote on. So be sure to be on the lookout for that and let
us
know
what
you think.
Next couple days.
Yeah, so let us know what you think. So, hey, y'all, we're going to see you next week. But until then, we'll...
Hallelujah
later.
Lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. prisoner of love.